I hear something saying, the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying,
ugh. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner here on the Mark Steiner Show, your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And of course, that's the great Sam Cooke and Chang Gang, born on this day in 1931. And you don't want to miss Sam Cooke and the rest in this night in Miami that's playing now at Center Stage. Phenomenal play. Speaking of the arts and speaking of an incredible artist, we are here with Navasha Daya, who is joining us one more. It's good to see you, Navasha.
Good to see you, too. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And, of course, Navasha is an incredible recording artist, singer, songwriter, producer, cultural arts and spiritual activist, co-founder and director of the Healing and Performing Arts at the Youth Resiliency Project with her wonderful husband, Fanon, and founder of Daya World LLC and founder and director of Spiritual Arts and Science Institute LLC. Whoa! A whole lot of stuff to say.
Yeah, man. It's a lot to do as well.
So let me start first with just what's happening directly this weekend with Sister Soul celebrating the resiliency of women in performing arts. Talk a bit about that. Because so the number of people come up to me saying, you got to talk to Navasha. This stuff's coming up this weekend. You got to talk to Navasha.
So. Thank you, everyone. So my company, my for-profit Daya World, and my nonprofit Youth Resiliency Institute, we're producing an event, which is an installment of a new series that I'm producing called Navasha Daya's Iwapele Music Series. And the first installment
is... Iwapele means what?
Iwapele means gentle character or good character.
In Yoruba.
In Yoruba, yes. Right. And it's very important to me and, you know, very big value for me personally. And a song I wrote actually about that as well. And this first installment is Sister Soul Celebrating the Resiliency of Women Performing Artists. And it's very close to my heart because I feel like... you know, just talking about the journey of being an artist, a female artist in the industry is very interesting. If you look at old clips from other female artists, you'll be very, you know, it's the same stories are still happening in regards to having to bounce back with obstacles. You know, it's kind of, there's some inequity issues still a little bit and assumptions and stuff. But I just want to celebrate my sisters. And originally I was going to have Mesa on this panel as well. It was going to be myself, Navasha Daya, India Davenport, formerly of the Brand New Heavies, which incredible acid jazz group. And she really took them really far with her voice. And hosted by Deborah Bond, another vocalist out of D.C. And the wonderful thing about all of us is that we're all front women or former front women of bands. And that is the intention and the angle of this actual first installment and what it means to be a front singer of a band with a whole lot of men behind you.
What does it mean? What does it mean?
Well, it means that you have to be in charge. No, it just means you have to really carry a lot. I mean, it's very it's intense because there's some isolation because you don't have, unless you have background singers that are female, some isolation.
Right. Because you're the only woman.
You get a lot of attention, which can bring some and some feelings with the male band members. It's a very interesting experience.
Wanted and unwanted both?
Maybe. And then you have people like Chaka Khan, who started off fronting a group and then going off her own. And there's also fear of, usually an untold spoken fear where you might leave them and go off and do great things. So there's a lot of commonalities. And upon talking to India, we were on a couple of projects overseas. And I was in Japan last October. And we talked after my show. And she talked about wanting to give back to the community and her journey. We were really getting deep as sisters. I love bonding with my fellow female artist, definitely. And she said she would be in the States. And I said, let's do something, girl. And I told her about our nonprofit, and she really wanted to give back to the children and youth and families we work with. And so we just coordinated this kind of last minute, we started coordinating in December to organize something for the community to have access to us, because I feel that, you know, there's not a lot of equity in the arts, you know, nationwide in the schools, just the access to artists, to great teachers. You know, I feel every school should have a great art teacher, a great music teacher. I had that. And so did India and a lot of my friends, Mesa. All of us had great teachers, and that helped foster our gift, as well as great community teachers who were professionals who we had access to. And I felt that I wanted to give back in that way, to be accessible to the children and youth and community.
I was thinking about how, when we had this conversation, once you talked about, I mean, I knew how you grew up. You grew up in a kind of, for want of a better term, a kind of a counterculture home.
I guess so, you could say. We're very conscious, yes.
Right? Socially conscious and spiritually conscious home.
Yes.
So that was part of what opened the paths for you. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, when you think about that, and what that does to how you open these doors. We're having a conversation with Q on the show that we're probably playing next week, mm-hmm. who's a young blues singer here in Baltimore. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Grew up in Lexington Terrace in the projects. Mm-hmm. And he found as he said to me on the air, when he puts a guitar in his hand and sings, mm-hmm. For him, it's meditative and it's therapy and it mm-hmm. changes the way he looks at the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, so the arts have this power.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that's what you're talking about,
right? Oh, yeah. I mean, if I feel sad, I sing in the shower. I know it's interesting people sing in the shower, but I really sing in the shower, too. And it helps me feel better because the vibration of your voice.
Lucky
no matter
Fanon.
How. Oh, he gets concerts all the time. He's like, okay, sweetie, all right now. But if I'm practicing for a show or just, you know. Yeah, I know he definitely gets concerts. So anyway, and then dancing helps me as well. Moving the energy in my body, that helps me feel better. So the arts, even though it's not always honored as something important in our culture, mm-hmm. it's very important. Important for our spirit and our emotions, and that's something. Those are two areas that are not celebrated in our culture as well. You don't go around saying, "Oh, they're so emotionally intelligent. I want to be just like them." Oh, they're so spiritually grounded. They have such good hearts. They're so developed. They have such good character. That's not. We say, "Oh, they have a nice car. They look so good. Their body looks nice. They have so much power and influence." That's what we celebrate in our culture. And I want to get back to celebrating the emotional intelligence and spiritual intelligence, specifically of artists, and just talking about their self development. That's something that's missing as far as the common denominator when we talk about developing and become artists, what's taught in schools, that the self-development is very important because it is the filter of which your art comes through. And imagine if you're self-developed and not doing all these crazy things, healed from your parents, healed from trauma you experienced, and focused on that in addition to your developing your craft. And that's something I've done personally. A lot of other artists I know who have done personally, I've talked to Rochelle Farrell about this, NDIRE, and they're all on board in regards to forwarding this kind of movement.
So how does that relate to what you are going to be doing Saturday with?
So it's going to be a panel discussion uh-huh. and a brief performance, and it's going to be free as well. I want to say, I know I can say that here. It's going to be free, y'all, in all ages. So that is the other angle of it. I want to be available. I want no excuses. You come on out. And so we're going to really talk about our stories, talk about things we've gone through, talk about the things that have allowed us to persevere, to kind of give advice to people because we're still human beings. So some of the things we've done, even if you're not a musician, you can kind of take on and kind of utilize as maybe a lesson for yourself or a strategy for yourself. Indy is going to get really deep into her journey as an artist, how she was raised. We talked the other day. She really wants the people to know who she is personally, not just what you see on TV and on the videos that you've seen through the years, because she's done really great work. She's a really, really wonderful artist. And I'll be talking about my journey as well. Deborah was speaking a little bit about her, but she's the moderator. And then we'll be performing. Well, all three of us will offer some music to you. So it goes back to us showing you who we are as a people, as women, and then showing us who we are as artists and showing the meshing or the integration of both of those.
So is the audience, is it just for women or is this
it's for everyone.
Okay, just being clear.
It's for everyone. No, it's not just for women. I know oh, Lord have mercy. So it's not just for women, everyone. It's for everyone. It's for the child, the mentee that you have, up-and-coming artists, people who want to sing, people who like to sing, people who are just our fans or our listeners, I should say, who support us. We want everyone to come out. But it's just this installment is for women. I will have other installments that will be integrated with men and all of that too. So it's just this first installment, you know,
it's for women.
It's actually focused on me, India, and Deborah Bond. Yes.
Because, I mean, I think that you know, people have maybe sometimes, and folks, by the way, we're doing this live today. This is with the Vasha Day. So you can join us at 410-319-8888. Write to us here, talk@steinershow.org, 410-319-8888, to talk more about what's happening this weekend and more. But, you know, some people I can hear thinking, well, wait a minute, women are at the forefront of so much music. They're all mm-hmm. some of the biggest stars, some of the mm-hmm. writers from Billie Holiday to Bessie Smith before that. And, mm-hmm. you know, and so what are you talking about? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the industry, women are treated as if they are not the songwriters. They are not the businesswomen, that they are not the arrangers of the music. And so there's a certain kind of assumption that we go through as artists. I have to fight hard if I'm working with a label overseas and they're like, oh, you're the artist? Well, they almost want to say, where's the man that's going to represent you? So there's a certain resiliency you mm-hmm. have to have in this industry, honestly, that yes, we are the front people. Yes, we get, you know, men definitely are crying like, women get more attention vocally, you know. But we definitely, business-wise and music-wise, are not always respected for our gifts. Like Patricia Rushen, is an awesome a musician, but a lot of us are musicians. Sarah Vaughan was a musician. She played piano. And just forwarding that conversation of what it takes to persevere in the industry still, we're still dealing with obstacles. If you're in a band with all these men, unless they're your brothers, there's still some obstacles. You have to really assert yourself. Like, no, this is the key. No, this is the rhythm. You know, or you have to really work to attract men who really respect you as a musician. So, and then just being a woman in the industry because men want to protect us. And I understand that and I respect that, but we are still strong as well. So just, you know, being allowed that position to be in a leadership position is really important still.
So what will people hear on Saturday from these women besides the beautiful artistry that they will perform?
They will, you know, hear their story. Hear the story. We'll hear suggestions. We'll hear some vocalizing suggestions. We really want to focus this on up-and-coming artists, youth, and families, and people who don't normally get a chance to talk to us. You know, there may be a section where we'll be able to have people ask questions. We're still, you know, we're going to see how the time goes. We have to, you know, consider the performance section of the event, but we want to really engage them and just sit there kind of casually, like, hey, what's up, y'all? This is us. It's not a station situation where it's staged. It's going to be very organic and very authentic.
Yes, it does.
So it's going to be juicy. I'm excited about India's part because I can't wait to hear what she says.
Yeah. So where is she now?
She's in Atlanta right now, but she lives in Japan now.
She's in Japan.
She lives in Japan. That's why this was very important, because they're like, you're coming to America? All righty, now we have to work it out. She hasn't been in America, some people say, for 10 years. So while she's here, everyone's like trying to call her to do music sessions with her. And she was in L.A. Like, they're really pulling on her because she's rarely here. But when you go through an experience of being in a band and getting notoriety and then not, there needs to be support for you, because it's very traumatic and an interesting experience to go from that and then everyone not really knowing how to approach you and things. So she went through a time of doing other projects people don't know about, but she never stopped singing. She just not singing. She hasn't been singing with the Brand New Heavies as of late. And so, you know, there needs to be support for artists like that. So I wanted to forward that conversation and provide a space for her to be celebrated, even though she is no longer singing with the Brand New Heavies. So people can still see her, hear her new music, hear about her new project, which is called Selectrix, Selectrix. Yes, it's a great project she's going to be presenting as well. So her new music. And so, you know, just want to celebrate her. And I think as artists, it's very important for us to celebrate each other. And this was coordinated by an artist for another artist. And that's another angle and intention that I have as, you know, as I continue to forward these music series.
So this events. Is, you know, I think as you were talking, one of the things that really struck me was that we always say over and over and over again on this program and everywhere else we have these discussions that the arts and the artistic part of our life is never given equal standing mm-hmm. with other aspects mm-hmm. of our life, you know, mm-hmm. especially with young people and, mm-hmm. and training young people and mm-hmm. living in school. Mm-hmm. So the question is, two things always pop in my mind. Obviously, one is what we're really missing with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I don't care if you want to end up. I said to some kids I lectured to the other week. I said they didn't want to go. They didn't all want to go to college, mm-hmm. but there were these HVAC systems on the roof. And I kept saying, "That's a way to make a living. You can fix those things, make $60 an hour, and have a life. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go off and do something mm-hmm. else. But you can still play guitar, paint a picture, perform, mm-hmm. dance. And we always want to make that separate. As if you can't have a whole life, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I mean, how do you approach mm-hmm. that? How should we approach mm-hmm. that?
I look at people like Paul Robeson. I really admired him as a child, and I wanted to be like him. It's interesting, right? I said I want to be multifaceted like him. And as an adult, I realized you actually have to have multiple streams of income, actually. So it's two different things here, right? So he was an activist, an artist, a lawyer, you know, actor, singer, and it really helps you be a whole person. We want to be whole people. We don't want to be fragmented where we're just so mentally smart, but we have no emotional connection.
To do one thing. That's
one
it,
thing. Just
right?
one thing. No, you should be multifaceted. I think in this day and age, it's very wonderful to celebrate that. You have, you know, different people in this world that we respect and honor that were painters. You didn't know. I mean, you can sell your paintings. You can do it just for healing. I mean, I know people who have used art to heal from people who have died in their lives. Use art to express feelings they have that is bottled up. So it doesn't have to be a money maker for you either. It could just be a way to express your real self and connect with your spirit and your soul. So it's actually very important to do that, to be a whole person. If you really want to be, I mean, it's a movement to celebrate the whole person, because we're really into intellectual, you know, mental intellect. We're really into physical intellect, like being strong, like Olympians are celebrated, you know, being able to make money, being able to physically do things, and cook and things like that. But the emotional and spiritual, which is what music and art comes through, definitely. It's not a mental thing. It's some of it is mental reading music, but it's very intuitive. It's very coming through you somewhere else, something. That, you know, a gift that you have, that's filtering through, that people are a little afraid of because they can't control that. And you can't say who's better, because right. It's all about what comes authentically to you and who's attracted to that energy and that gift and that art. And so in our culture, we could use a little more of that. I mean, we celebrated it back in the day in our indigenous cultures. But in this American time, you know, it's all about, you know, power and money, you know. And so people, there's no money making in that, unfortunately. But I feel like every child needs to have access to artists, professional artists, to touch and, you know, and learn from and have access to, which is why we're doing this event. And I think all children should have art, visual art and music, at least in their schools, a teacher, because you need to have that to be a whole person, you know, in your school, to have some free time to relax. And not just do teach to test and
yeah, right,
stuff.
Exactly.
Bless their hearts, these children.
I mean, we don't have that in our world unless you can pay for it.
Mm-hmm. And that's another equity issue. If you don't have the money to pay for it, what are your children getting?
You can't pay for a private school.
Exactly. Private lessons.
Right, exactly.
How are you going to get in there? You know, there's schools here, School of the Arts specifically, there's auditions, and there's so many children I've taught voice lessons to help with auditions that didn't get in. And they get really depressed. They might stop singing, stop dancing, and it doesn't make any sense.
It's a wonderful, I taught there for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm.
However, only 400 kids are in that school. And there are thousands of kids who want to go to that school.
Yep, and who have talent as well.
Right, and who have talent. Mm-hmm. They can't take everybody. So someone.
Yeah,
so
we need other. We need other avenues. I know our organization has a Youth Arts Harvest Initiative and a Youth Arts Harvest Festival that comes out of that initiative, and we have a free festival for youth that perform every year. This is our fourth year this year in downtown Baltimore. So if you go to our website and pay attention and like our Facebook page,
this
you'll get noticed.
Youth Resiliency website.
Yes, Youth Resiliency Institute. We actually provide an opportunity for youth to come and perform. Youth organizations and youth to perform on a professional stage. This year, the mayor's office sponsored it, the city council office sponsored it, as well as others. And we really try to foster that, so it's hopefully going to expand this year.
And so the work you're doing, I was interested to find you, it's here and in Cleveland.
Yes.
That's come out of the program we did a couple of years back or about a year ago that...
No. That's from the Journey Project, which is a new... Oh, yeah, okay. A new portfolio from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. We received funding from them, and we expanded to East Cleveland from that. And it'll probably be some other places. We've had
Is that where the rites of passage began? Is that where that started? No.
Okay, so we're from Cleveland.
Right.
Me and Mr. Hill, Vernon Hill. And we did start... We did both go through
That's
rites of passage
connection.
There. Yes,
gotcha.
Thank you. Okay. We both are children of rites of passage all day, like since we were 13, the traditional rites. But it expanded there because that's our hometown and we're into giving back, obviously, as you can tell. And so we went back home to make sure those children and families have access to this work as well. So we just expanded to go home and return to where we're from to give back.
Okay.
And then we have other people, Tanzania, we have other states that are calling us and people that we partner with that are interested in expanding our programming in those places too, because of the strategy and our methodology. We were just recently honored at the White House last year for our methodology and the strategies that we've used to uplift, you know, the community and work with youth and our programming methodology. So, you know, we're really doing good. I mean, I really give thanks because we're really in the community. We've been in Cherry Hill Public Housing and in Albemarle Square for
doing what? What are you doing there?
Providing programming. So we've been providing emancipatory programming and services to children, youth, and families since 2010. We started off with zero private or public funding in Cherry Hill Public Homes, and we've been there all this time. So we've basically created a family now, and the Journey Project is an extension of that. And
with zero funding, you said?
We started off with zero private or public funding.
Just
doing it because it needed to be done. They didn't have a ball, a book. I mean, if everyone... I told Fanon last night, and this is a point of view I want to share with the listeners. I feel that we should be embarrassed if we make a certain amount of money. Because if you're making that amount of money, that means you're being really greedy. Because if it was shared and really fair, people wouldn't make billions of dollars. And one person should not make that much. I just thought about that last night. I said, people shouldn't make that much. And if you do, you have to be required to buy houses for people, employ people. It should you don't have to you can't spend that money in your lifetime. That's serious demonic greed. I'm sorry to say that on the air, but that's serious. And I was thinking about all the disparities. I'm with people who don't have anything. I you know, so to me I just thought about the world and how rich we are right now.
Yeah.
How many millionaires are in America? And just the lack, the greed and the selfishness that we experience because we're afraid to lose that.
8% of Maryland's population are millionaires. 8%. 8%.
Wow.
of Maryland's population are millionaires.
That's really a serious thing. And the thing that we should be, it should almost be like the new culture I talk about, emotional and spiritual development. We should be embarrassed. Like, I make billions of dollars. You should be a major employer. I thought about this because I thought about winning the lottery or having millions of dollars. And, usually I would say, hey, I would buy my family houses and I'll pay off my loans. Then I say, you know what? I would be an employer. I would be a major employer. I'd be employing so many people. Fanana and I have so many people come up to us, friends, family, not family, but friends, people we know who come and need jobs, need income, need just something because everyone goes through different things. And we help as much as we can. And I'm just thinking like, if I, you know, it's just a shame because if we had more people who just gave from their heart, even their own personal money that you can't write off, we'd be, you know, a better situation.
So, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, that what also struck me as you were talking was that programs like the ones that you and Fanon work on are not funded by the people in Baltimore, by the foundations or by the government in Baltimore. And you're in the midst, and that, I say this all the time, every time I go somewhere to people, because there are people as you on the ground doing this incredible work with young people in communities, and nobody pays attention. The money goes to the same group of elite, mostly white folks in this town to run projects in poor communities, in black communities, but not to folks like you and
Fanon. You said it.
I did say it. I'll say it again and again.
And again. We've had, you know, there's an organization here called the Deutsch Foundation that's very awesome.
Yep.
And there's some other foundations that have, you know, assisted. But we are in the midst of a lot of foundations. And it is very interesting that we received the funding that we received, which is a nice amount for what we're doing. It's the amount that you need to make do any kind of work. And the generosity and forward thinking of the W.K. Kellogg Foundation is really, you know, really good. And we are in the midst of we're in a city where there's a lot of foundations, and we've been doing this work since 2010, and we are known for our work. So, you know, it's a call out for action. I think everyone's doing the best they can and all of that. So I'm not trying to complain or anything.
Fanon got when your husband got that piece, you all got that piece from Kellogg, my first reaction was, that's fantastic. But then I think, wait a minute, it took a national group to understand this was going on in the heart of our own community, and somebody can recognize it from here?
Yeah, maybe some changes of heart. You know, we never know. But we're very, very happy to be able to have the resources to serve the people that we've been serving for all these years. We're very, very thankful. There's been major transformations already from the project. And this is just a forwarding of a continuation and the beginning of the work that we continue will plan to do, no matter if with funding or without. We will do the work.
I know you will.
Yeah.
So let's bring it back full circle to Iwa Pele.
Yeah, yes.
And what we're going to do this weekend and what may be coming after that.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. So Iwa Pele Music Series, Navasha Day, will be seasonal. This weekend, January 24th, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the UB Blake Cultural Center at 847 North Howard Street, we'll be providing an opportunity for people to have access to professional artists. Myself, Navasha Deya, formerly of Fertile Ground, India Davenport, formerly of the Brand New Heavies, and Deborah Bond, who is a part of a production group and band called Third Logic. And we will be providing an opportunity for you to talk to us, hear our story, learn about the resiliency of women in the music industry. It's open to all ages. It's free, and it's for the whole family, male, female, everybody. And it will be it's the beginning of a series that I'll be offering seasonally. I'm talking to my team about the next subject matter, but I have some ideas, maybe going a little international, and bringing artists here because I feel like artists should reach out to artists. It's our job to bring equity and justice and opportunity and access to the community. And I'm just continuing what the elders, the masters that I admire have done. And it's nothing special. It's what we should do as artists. I'm not special. This is what artists should do. We should give back, and we should make opportunities for young people to have access because I don't know who they're going to be. I don't know, you know, what I say that can afford someone's, you know, continue, you know, inspire them to be, you know, do great things. So that's very important to me personally. And I'm a music educator by training. And so I've taught almost all around the city as an artist and resident. And I just seen so much. And I just really, my heart gets pulled by talented children. I'm a sucker for a talented child, actually.
As we should be.
Yes, I am a sucker for. So I'm always trying to connect people with other people I know, you know, industry folk or whatever. So I feel that fostering the idea of self-development in addition to the artistic development is something I really want to promote as well.
Well, so this weekend, Navasha Deya, who's been a guest on the show many times back here in the studio right now, Sister Soul celebrating the resiliency of women in the performing arts will take place this Saturday at the UB Blake Center from 3 to 6 p.m. And you can go to dayateam, which is one word, dayateam@gmail.com for more information.
Or you can call 443-934-1972.
There we go.
Thank you, Mark.
Always good to see you.
This is great. You no joke. All right, then. Put me on the spot. Oh, thank you. All right. This is a great morning, everyone.
It's a good morning.
So
good to have you here.
I hope to see you there Saturday.
And my best of Phenom to you both.
Thank you. I will. Peace.
So we're about to take a quick break and listen to Mark Steiner Show here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And we're on our way to break. We're hearing Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince. DJ Jazzy Jeff born on this day in 1965. We'll be right back.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust.